Good morning, everybody. We'd like to welcome everybody to worship this morning. We have a few visitors with us. We're glad that you're worshiping with us. We've got some former visitors that are now members here. Want to mention that Gus, it might be a shock to you. They've been here so often, you probably just assume they're members. Gus and Amber Lyman and their sweet family have identified that they want to worship and work with us, and we're very glad to have you. Also, Sister Tana requests prayers for her husband, Pete. He woke up this morning with a gout flare-up, and I don't know how many of you know much about gout. When there's a flare-up, it's very painful, and we need to remember Pete at this time. And let's go to God in prayer before we get started in our lesson. Dearly Father, we humbly come to you, thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. We ask that you be with those mentioned earlier, Brother Ken, Peggy, that have been sick lately. But we also bring to you right now, we lift up Pete and the gout flare-up. We ask that you comfort him. Please let this be temporary and reside quickly. Dear God, we ask that you be with us the rest of this worship. We hope that everything we have and do in this worship is sound, pleasing to you, and glorifies you. We pray everything through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Very rarely do I repeat a lesson. Sometimes people have requested a sermon done again for the behalf of somebody that's going to be here on a certain Sunday or whatever. That's been an occasion. We've had this series done before. The last time it was done 3 years ago. Since 3 years, we've added a number of people. Even the people that have heard it before, we're going to be hearing it kind of out of different ears. I've tweaked it a little bit, but it's about biblical leadership. Ultimately, it's going to get to the lessons of elders. We do not have elders at this congregation. That's one of the things that we are praying about, striving for. But biblical leadership in general is something that everybody needs to hear. Whether we wind up ever being an elder, men, or not, all Christians have to at least be the leader of their own soul. And so it's important for everybody to hear this. It's a series of studies. So we're not going to finish it all this morning. We're going to look at the principles of leadership today. And nobody just wakes up one day and say, I want to be an elder in the Lord's church. Or I'll put it this way. You don't wake up one day and quickly become an elder. It's a process. This lesson is as much for the men that are in here right now as much as it is for little Louie and Chase and Calvin. It's for Puka, who many years from now may be an elder. You don't just wake up and say, oh, I want to be an elder. You grow into it. You mature into it. And you women, although you will never get the opportunity to be an elder, you may be an elder's wife. And this is as much for you. You children, you're going to be children of elders someday, possibly. And this is as much for you as it is for the men that maybe someday will be elders. Biblical leadership is one of the most important decisions a congregation ever makes. As far as an individual goes, the biggest decision you ever make is your decision to be saved. That is the ultimate decision you ever make. Every decision you make pales in consideration of your own salvation. Another one that is very important for Christians doesn't apply to everybody because not everybody gets married. But the choice of a spouse. A spouse can help build you up, male or female. A wife can help build the husband up. The husband can help build the wife up. Who knows? And I'm sure there are people in here, I know there are, that through the strength of the spouse, the mate became a Christian. But you know what? It goes the other way too. A spouse can weaken the other. And many, over the course of time, I've known many Christians that have left the church because the spouse weakened them. So that's an important decision we make religiously. But after those two, the next biggest important one is the choice of congregational leadership. I have seen churches torn apart. And in fact, most of the problems I've ever witnessed in a congregation has been because of weak leadership. Many problems that come down the pike are nipped in the bud with good leaders. They set the tone. They set the congregation on the path. But on the other hand, you can have great leaders, and if a congregation isn't willing to follow, and if they don't have a heart to serve God, how many times do we see that in the Old Testament? You know, that the leaders are strong, but the followers aren't. Doesn't matter. If the leader says charge, and he's the only one charging, looks back and nobody else is, it doesn't matter. So we're going to look at this over a series of a number of weeks. The attitude, I can be led, but I will not be driven. I don't know about you. That is in my heart and mind. And I'm sure many others. I will follow a sound leader just about anywhere, as long as it's sound. I won't be driven. I won't be pushed. I won't be threatened. I won't be coerced. And that's most of us. Leaders need to remember that. There's a big difference between somebody that wants to be in charge. A lot of people want to be in charge and have their way. And those that step up and answer the need of leadership. There's lots of people that want to be in charge, that wants to have their way. And then there's people that answers that call of leadership. It's easy to point out criticism. Anybody can point out where somebody falls, but a true leader will train others to be the best that they can be. It's about them. It's not about the leader. Why do some people want to be leaders in general? Some out of pride. They want to be in charge, to have their own way. Some people want to be leaders to get their agenda accomplished. And if they don't get, if they're not the leader to get their agenda accomplished, they work behind the scenes, undermining the leaders to get their way across. That's horrible. But a lot of people want to be leaders to have their own way, get the things that they want to accomplish in. Some feel entitled. Some people, well, I've been a member of this congregation for X, Y, or Z time. I should be an elder by now. You should, but you're not. There's a reason you're not. Well, I've been a deacon. I should be an elder by now. A lot of times the wives want their husbands to be the elder. They're not elder material, but I want to be an elder's wife. Just because you want your husband to be an elder doesn't mean that they're going to be an elder. Some just want the title. Many people, and this is leaders in general, I don't care whether it's a head coach, I don't care whether it's a principal, I don't care if it's a CEO of a company. A lot of people don't understand all the work that goes into being the leader. A lot of people want the title. They want that name plaque on their door. They don't understand all that goes along with that. It's more than just a special parking space. It's more than the plastic name tag. True godly leadership is difficult. That's why not everybody's able to do it. It's full of sacrifice. And we talk about, as we look into it, the family has to be on board. It's full of sacrifice because you're helping a whole flock of people, not just your family. And I have seen times where families have suffered because the elder was helping put out so many other fires in the congregation that his own children suffered because of it, or his wife. It's one of service. It's not a title. Elders, true biblical elders, are the biggest servants of the congregation, or should be. It's often underestimated. Many people have no idea. And I'm sure I don't even understand all that an elder goes through. I've never been an elder. I'm not qualified. I don't know if I understand all that they go through. It's one full of criticism. An elder walks around, and a lot of times leaders themselves walk around with a target on their back. Every time an elder makes a decision, some people agree with it. Other people don't. The ones that agree with it and follow it are probably the more mature people. What if you have a congregation that is made up mostly of immature, weak Christians? A congregation is not, God's congregations is not a democracy. We sometimes, living in America, confuse the two. I want my say. Let's take a vote. Where in the Bible do you see it being a democracy? It's God's way or not at all. Hopefully, the majority of the congregation is mature enough to be led by mature men. And if they disagree, chances are they aren't mature. Leaders influence. They teach. They guide the congregation. They set the tone for the path a congregation is going. Every congregation has a different temperament. Every congregation has a different personality. It can still be serving God, but totally different from another congregation. There's different moods and attitudes and feelings of different congregations. Doesn't mean it's right or wrong or unsound. It's just different. Elders and leaders lead that congregation. And if a congregation doesn't have elders, that's where the men step up. That's where this congregation has been from its the get-go. We haven't had elders. We've had good, godly men doing their best until we can get elders. They counsel. They comfort. Leaders sometimes have to discipline. It's a lot easier to comfort than it is to discipline somebody. It's a lot easier to teach somebody or to give them a good influence than it is to have to discipline them. But that has to be done for their own good. In Ezekiel, we see the responsibility of leadership in verses 7 through 9. It says, "So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, 'O wicked man, you shall surely die,' and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But you have delivered your soul." Leaders of a congregation, they have the responsibility for that congregation. If they teach the right message and are sound, and the people don't heed, they've done their job. But if they know they should, and they don't give that warning, not only will the people suffer, but they will suffer also. So a lot of people want to be leaders, but they don't want that responsibility. And there is responsibility in leadership. It takes a special and a mature Christian person to be a good leader. James 3:1, we've looked at this a number of different lessons. In fact, I think I've said it before, I read this verse every morning before I preach, because I want it to be in my mind. James 3:1 says, "Let not many of us become teachers, brethren, knowing that we shall incur stricter judgment." That stricter judgment comes, one, from God, because if we don't warn people of sound doctrine, it's going to come back to us. It's going to come from within the body, a stricter judgment. I have found that when we're looking at other people, we have 20/20 vision. But the guy right in front of the mirror, just a few feet away, we sometimes overlook a lot of things. But looking at other people, we've got 20/20 vision. We can pick out the smallest fault from 3/4 of a mile away. Not only from within the body will people be judging us, outside the body. The way we conduct ourselves outside, and somebody says, "You're an elder? You're a Christian, and you behave like this?" We have stricter judgments. Also, yourselves. Leaders, a lot of times, are their own worst critics. And they look at themselves in a very critical way. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, and Frank read this earlier in our worship, says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For a man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" We have different eyes than God does. A lot of times, somebody, we may be judging a leader by worldly standards. God has his standards, and it involves being sound. It involves keeping God's word. It involves his heart, his desire to serve the Lord. God has always demanded proper leadership, always, from cover to cover in the Bible. Without it, things go really bad, really fast. Look at the Garden of Eden. Eve was deceived. We put a lot of blame on Eve. If Adam would have been doing his role as a leader, it would have never happened. Many times, women will rise up. Sometimes it might just be due to personality. They're just kind of an aggressive, minded person to take charge. But a lot of times in a congregation, when women rise up and kind of start taking charge and wanting to have their way, it's because the men aren't doing theirs. The work's going to get done one way or the other. A lot of times it's because men are not fulfilling their role of leadership. Same in the home. It's going to get done one way or the other. And a lot of times the men are the ones falling down. Last week we looked at the example of the golden calf, where the Israelites have seen the great hand of God, had taken them out of Egypt, out of bondage, parted the Red Sea. And Moses goes up on the mountain, has gone a little bit too long. He comes back, and they've already fashioned a golden calf, worshiping it. All because Aaron could have put a stop to it like that. But he didn't. He went along with it. The book of Judges, just read the book of Judges, how the roller coaster effect of the people following God and the leadership. In Titus 1:5, Paul wrote to Titus and he said, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you." Elders in every congregation is part of God's design. Just like in Crete, we are a wonderful congregation. I commend this congregation, at least in my heart, all the time. I am so thankful for sound men. I am thankful for talented people that teach classes at a moment's notice, able to get up in the pulpit and deliver a sound message. Men that get up Sunday nights and deliver the lessons. People that if they know something needs to be done, they hop to and they do it. I love this congregation. But there are things that are lacking. We don't have elders. We haven't had people qualified to be elders. This lesson might be for 7 years down the road. It might be someday when Puka and Raider, you may be worshiping in another congregation. Someday you may be elders. Someday you may need to be an elder, Louis. You girls may be growing up and being the wife of an elder. That's important for you. The home is the first example we see of godly leadership in the home. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Other people should be able to see by the way you conduct yourselves that you're God's people. In Proverbs 2, the whole chapter is focused on searching after wisdom and understanding of God's word. Not encyclopedia knowledge, God's word knowledge. Proverbs 3:1, we see, my son, do not forget my law. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. That word train, it takes effort. You don't just have a child and leave them to their own devices to raise themselves. You train them. You put effort and you invest in your children. Not only financially, spiritually. Ephesians 6, and you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. True biblical leadership is hard. It is required. It's not a choice. It's required by God. And it's not always as the world sees it. Next week, we're going to get into some examples in the Old Testament, looking at Moses, of true biblical leadership. The concept is not just in the New Testament. It's all the way through the Bible. Thank you for your attention. You've got the outline. If you need to go over some of those verses this week on your own, that is great. Again, Amber and Gus, we welcome you as part of this congregation. Want to work and worship with you. If there's anything we can do for you, if you'd like to identify with working and worshiping with us here at South Valley, we'd love to have you. If you need to be baptized, if you've been studying and haven't been baptized yet, the water's ready, we're ready, we got towels ready, everything's ready, God's ready. If you need to repent of sin, don't go any longer carrying that sin with you. Don't sleep with the frogs one more night like Pharaoh's did. Repent of your sins. If you need prayers, anything we can do for you as your brothers and sisters, please let us know while Brandon leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand and sing.